Welcome back to Tip TV Finance, where we have another financial heavyweight in the form of Mark Oswald, who's a strategist at ADM Investor Services International. How are you today, Mark?
I'm okay.
Well, what's particularly griping you or cheering you up today?
Well, I suppose it's a couple of things. Obviously, we've got the fallout from the ECB yesterday. I think the key aspect here is it was a very dovish message that Mr. Draghi was sending. Certainly, one wonders whether the nine-month extension from April was really a convenience to suggest we don't want to be making any policy changes during the election season that we've got plenty of next year. Nevertheless, one looks at the other aspect of it, which was this cut in the pace of bond purchases. And yes, to some extent, I can buy into what Mr. Draghi said, that's not a taper. But actually, on the other side of the coin, what you've got is basically an policy implementation problem. We've never had this with central banks before. There's never been this, we can't actually do 80 billion a month. It's too problematic. So they've made all these other measures. And the important thing with those, and I think it plays out for the bond market above all, is just how much they emphasize and attenuate the steepening in bond yield curves that we've seen. And if you combine that with the obvious upward pressure on inflation that we see, for instance, today in China's PPI data, big jump from 2.3 to 3.3. Worth remembering, it was minus 5.9 this time a year ago. That is one big pickup in inflation. And so it's little wonder that the long end of these bond markets are starting to come under the cosh. My big concern with all of that is rather less the fact that we've got long-term interest rates rising, which would normally be constructed as something of a negative for equity markets, and rather more just how unsensitive to this substantial rise that we've seen both in yields and in steeper curves the credit markets are. And my real big concern here is this is actually more about market dynamics and regulation than it is actually a view on credit. Is it the view that, well, the global economy is going to really get some traction now because Mr. Trump's coming in and he's promised us a lot, even if we have to have some doubts about what he'll actually deliver? Or is it the fact that the large fund managers know very well that they are extraordinarily long, both of credit and of duration, for the yield pickup because we're in a financial, but they don't want to go and test the bid. Now it's come to the time where yields are rising, because that in the long run will end up in a catastrophe, because there'll be one day where they, because they're long-term holders, their mark-to-markets are obviously not nearly as hefty as, say, for a trading book. But they will have to sell. They will have to unload some of their portfolios, basically part of due diligence. And at what point, what the instant feedback into the equity market on that situation will be, because at the moment, equities probably look at the margin rather more attractive than their bond brothers in the corporate world.
So they've got a head in the sand approach at the moment, these institutions?
Yes, I would suggest that it's, you know, and particularly when you look at some of the performances, particularly of the absolute return funds, you know, they've been promising sort of returns of LIBOR plus 1%, LIBOR plus 1.5%. Half of them are down 5%. There are some who are up marginally. But you wonder how long you can carry on taking this we don't need to sell attitude and have the sort of underperformance that they're going to have. And then you get a big shock when credit spreads start to widen in response to those higher underlying government bond yields.
And are you saying that because of the state of the bond market, the stock market is actually very buyable or very cheap? Or what's
I'm not saying it's cheap. What I'm saying is on a relative value basis, I can see why people still want to put money into stocks on a rather selective basis, because you know it's not everything which is good in this. And as we've seen this year, one of the big features of the equity market is the index doesn't tell you anything anymore. Actually, what you're seeing in the index is something which camouflages huge shifts between sectors as people rotate, because of the RV or because of new factors as they come in. For instance, Mr. Trump being supposedly good for infrastructure spending and by extension for raw materials and for construction.
It's rather strange because it's only the case because he said he is. It's not one of those things where there's actually any evidence at all. Whereas in the good old days, you'd actually infer something from evidence.
Yes.
Which was not from the party directly concerned.
Well, I think one of the ones which really amuses me at the moment actually is the way that pre the election, everyone was worried about the pharmaceutical stocks because Mrs. Clinton was going to win and she was going to pressure. And then suddenly Mr. Trump pipes up and says, actually, I want to put some downward pressure on some of the cost of these drugs. And everyone's going, but I thought Trump was good for pharmaceuticals.
That's going to happen all the time, isn't it? Because he's just a total loose cannon, isn't it?
Indeed. In that term. And so we don't actually know what he's going to do. And therefore, some of the risks associated with or the association with what's going to happen under Mr. Trump could prove to be wrong. I think one important one, though, is critical in all of this. And we get a lot of this in feedback terms from our contacts in the US. The reason that a lot of people voted for Mr. Trump was the belief that they're sick and tired of hearing how the budget needs to be kept under control and jobs need to be, you know, lean and mean, and that Mr. Trump, with his infrastructure plans, we'll see if they're realised, basically should help to bump some of those people who went out of better-paying blue-collar jobs into minimum-wage service sector jobs and be able to go back into working in construction and the things associated with infrastructure spending. And the key element in this is about the boost, that sort of boost which is needed to get animal spirits going again. Now, eminently, I can understand the optimism. Let's see if it actually happens.
But it could be a lot of grand old Duke of York activity, which is like, Trump, one day he tweets out that he doesn't like farmers or profiteering. The next day he said, well, actually, no, I think that was a bit overdone. I should go back. I mean, it's going to be like that, isn't it?
Yes, it's going to be a lot of push me, pull you. So one expects that, at least in sector terms, if not in headline index terms, you're probably going to see even more volatility in the underlying stocks.
So, I mean, if he's blocked on his infrastructure plan or just the money's runs out or something goes wrong, I mean, this could be an absolute car crash.
Well, it could be, but I would say on the infrastructure plan, it's given it has to go through Congress, there are a lot of people in a lot of states which aren't the big states. They're not the Chicago's and New York's and California, but the Rust Belt, which has been basically was voting very heavily against Clinton, would support it because it will be good for them. It's a little bit pork barrel, one would have to say, in terms of politics, but it does sort of make one fairly optimistic on the infrastructure side.
Well, we'll see what happens. Mark Oswald, strategist at ADM Investor Services, thank you very much for coming in today.